League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Big news today for the Astros, who have lost four in a row, got swept by the homeless A's at Daikin Park in embarrassing fashion over the weekend, is that they have DFA'd John Singleton today. I imagine that means a corresponding move of some sort is coming. Does that mean somebody is coming back from injury? Does that mean they have acquired somebody else? I suppose we will see it later this afternoon, so make sure you're tuned in to the Killer Bees for that. And if it does happen before the end of today's show, we will talk about it for sure. It's been interesting seeing the way people have reacted to this Astros debacle against the A's over the weekend. I think everybody's of the mindset that what they currently have right now isn't enough, and that there is a split between those who think the Astros should go and get something, anything, no matter what the cost, and those who say, roll the dice, let's see some guys return from injury. Should some guys return from injury, given how you were playing, at least at first, with all the injuries, it stands to reason that you will be playing close to that level sooner rather than later. But it is assuming health. I find myself in the latter category. I think that given the limitations that the Astros have with a farm system that's pretty damn empty and that is at this moment in time being forced to throw these minor league players straight into the fire, there's a part of me that thinks at some point you're going to have to think a little bit more about the big picture. And that's not to say that this is a year that the Astros should wave the white flag or be sellers. I see some people doing that. Calm down. One of the three best teams in the American League, you loser.
That has to just be attention-seeking behavior. Whether it's like actually like engagement farming or just like, hey, everyone, look at me.
But I'm not just seeing it on X. I've seen a couple of texts about it, too. So there is a sentiment in the fan base that after these last couple of weeks, that things are not going to go the way that they were earlier this year. You should have been realistic enough to know that already. We were there. We told you to be there. God wills it. We do not understand how this stretch is happening. A little bit of reality has crept in, and yet they are still in fine shape. And I don't think that they all of a sudden need to get aggressive at the trade deadline. Will they? We'll see. I'm not going to say no to anything that they do, but I've seen some people talking about them going after Eugenio Suarez, who's the top third baseman target out there. Does that make sense? Does it make sense to give up a lot for that guy to have for a brief amount of time? Even if this guy has a relationship with Jose Altuve, which I know was written about, does it really make that sense to go for the top shelf item at this moment in time? I don't think it does. I think you really got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be much better than I am right now. I just have to find a way to survive. The pitching has to get back to the way that the pitching has been. They've been the most disappointing thing about the last couple of weeks. The offense, it stinks because they're throwing guys out that no one had ever heard of. They're throwing guys out there that probably never even expected to play in the majors. Just to be frank.
Yeah.
They're realizing lifelong dreams. That's cool, but a little realism, a little pragmatism would be nice. And
I think that that also should apply to the Astros. They should realize what they have. And honestly, if it does lead to Dana Brown saying that Yordan Alvarez or Jeremy Pena or Christian Javier or Luis Garcia or Spencer Arrighetti are trade deadline acquisitions, I'm okay with it because they have played well enough to this point to be in a situation where they can't say a guy returning from injury is an acquisition.
I'm not okay with it.
You're not?
But that's more of a principle of just, I hate it when people say.
But they do it. They've done it so much.
They do it every year.
I want them to do it.
Yes.
I will be kind of disappointed and let down. It'll be like a year without Christmas.
I will say, I actually wouldn't completely hate it because now to mean at least these guys have come back. It means at the very least that they have rejoined the team and aren't just on the IL forever. So that will be the ray of sunshine in what would be a quote that made my eyes roll out of my head. But yeah, I think that you do that. That's the whole point of the God wills it thing was that there's no explanation for how well they're playing.
You just have blind divine faith and assume it'll keep happening, but it's not going to eventually.
Yeah, the carriage just kind of turned back into a pumpkin.
Yeah,
you know, like Zach Short, love you, buddy. Ready for Jeremy Pena to come back.
Same.
Cooper Hummel, again, salute to you. The Space Cowboys wouldn't be...
I'd rather see Chas McCormick.
Wouldn't be champions last year if it wasn't
for
you.
That's true.
Cooper Hummel.
So this is a dynasty potential
yes.
in the AAA level, although I do not know what the Space Cowboys are
doing. I can't imagine
right
they're doing well, considering their entire team is on the major league roster.
Unless it's next man up for the Space Cowboys, too, which would be pretty cool. Again, we haven't been paying that much attention to them.
Yeah, but overall... they don't need to splurge when it comes to the deadline. If you want to make some, supporting moves, I'd be pro that.
Same. Chandler Rome wrote a piece about what the Astros might do with the trade deadline in The Athletic. Here is what Jayden Brown and the Astros are planning right now. Quote, Brown and his baseball operations team entered July seeking a starting pitcher and a left-handed bat. They have 7 starting pitchers on the IL. Dana Brown seemed encouraged enough by some of the rehab work to move offense ahead of an arm on his priority list. Christian Javier made his 3rd minor league rehab start Thursday. Spencer Arrighetti is nearing his 2nd as well. So lefty bat and an infielder. They're probably going to trade from the major league roster to go get that guy. I am curious as to how recognizable that name is. They definitely have to get someone. I'm curious as to what the price would be if it means giving up someone that they really like. I don't think Bryce Matthews is on the table. I do wonder if Jacob Melton is potentially on the table. I do wonder about some of the other guys that are like, you like them, but you haven't seen enough of them yet. Do they get the Joey Loperfido for Yusei Kikuchi treatment? Kikuchi was good. And also Joey Loperfido is... He's been okay.
He's a guy.
Yeah.
You know?
He's fun. He's great, good-looking fielder.
Yes, he looks good out there in the outfield. I don't know if this is, the Bagwell trade from the Red Sox point of view. But it is, it's something that you get attached to these guys, and it's going to be especially interesting this year because – Joey Loperfido didn't play that much, and when he did, it was kind of like a little bit of, not a sideshow, but just like some guy who was on the Astros. The Astros now are all the guys that would be a trade piece, at least theoretically. Like, Bryce Matthews, I don't know how much he actually changed his trade value by how he's played once he come up, because there's been peaks and valleys, I'd say. But in the minds of Astros fans, he's raised his he almost not single-handedly, but as far as the lineup goes, he was the only guy who scored runs
exactly.
In a game they won in Arizona. So like at a certain point, fans are naturally going to get attached to these guys. So it will be interesting of if any of these guys get shipped out, which especially Bryce Matthews, I don't think should, but what the reaction will be, especially if they're not going to make a sexy move, but it's going to cost a Jacob Melton or something.
And I think you got to be very, very careful because you've been doing this so much about giving up some of the young guys. There's a certain point where you do have to think about the big picture, even if it comes at the expense of this year. And that's not me saying to not go all in for this year. I just think you have to be a little more realistic and pragmatic. And I think some people are not quite being that right now. I think you're just saying, well, get me something new. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they should go all in this year. Like, they should be, you know, like the whole Jim Crane quote of the title window's always open while I'm here. Like, part of that is, you know, like, don't trade Bryce Matthews for 2 months of Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah,
like, don't do that.
Yeah.
that's part of it. Is
if
like,
you're healthy,
you don't make those kind of moves.
If you're healthy, you're a contender. You're not healthy right now.
If you're even, like, moderately healthy, I think you're a contender.
Yeah. A legit, like, front runner. You're one of the top 5-6 teams with a little more health. But right now, you don't have it, so don't go too crazy. By the way, this was Dana Brown on MLB Network Radio talking about the Astros' trade deadline plans.
Yeah, I mean, a left-hand bat would be great, of course. And if you can get an infielder, you know, with the, you know, injury to Paredes, that, you know, that would be great as well. So without a doubt. But look, if you get a left-hand bat, that's a really good bat, and you put him in left field, you know, or something like that, and put Altuve back at second, you know, you can do things like that as well. But a left-hand bat would be the preference, and we'd like to try to get a good one. And if it's an infielder, it's a bonus. You know, you go through seasons like this, you feel like you can write a book at the end of your career titled 162 and it's grind. But it's just that when you play 162 games, it is a very difficult season. A lot of ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. But look, our guys are grinding, and you know, we're pretty excited about the rest of the season.
Can that MLB Network radio guy breathe less? Can you tone down the breathing?
It's so funny. That's the first thing Dell pointed out when we played the song.
All I could hear.
It sounds like they're outside. Like, it sounds like when there's a breeze going on, it's just the...
Dude. I mean, so I can't speak too ill, because every now and then I'll be on an Instagram story after a long walk, and you'll hear me breathing a little bit. But, or after going on a run or something like that. But, yeah. By the way, there's been a few people I've hosted shows with before, and I was between a rock and a hard place when it comes to acknowledging the heavy breathing by this person and having fun with it and being a good guy. It was very tough. I chose be a good guy.
Two roads. There's a fork in the road.
In retrospect, I really, really wish I had called out their heavy breathing in retrospect. It's no one currently at the station, but I just remember thinking to myself, are you okay?
If it's not a health issue, it's a, can you please just like take a back off the mic for like 2 inches? It's like hard to do. It's like we have to go out of our way to like...
Yeah, like, sounds like the guy that's giving Peter the hypnosis treatment at the beginning of Office Space. Breathe deeper.
Deeper.
And then he croaks. I mean, goodness gracious. Anyway, that's what Dana Brown had to say about the Astros at the trade deadline. It is the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call into text and YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN975. If you want to weigh in on whether or not the Astros should be aggressive at the trade deadline, I am curious as to what you have to say about that. One of the least favorite sports figures in the eyes of Houston, Texas, just got essentially pantsed in public. You will hear the details on that story next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros swept by the A's over the weekend. 4-game sweep, making it even more embarrassing. Trade deadline's Thursday. We'll see if they make a corresponding move after DFAing John Singleton Earlier this afternoon, we learned that from his wife, Lindsay Hamilton, on social media. A report came out from Jeff Passan this afternoon about a confrontation with one of the least likable sports figures in the eyes of Houston, Texas. That's baseball commissioner Rob Manfred.
He might be one of the least liked ones just nationwide.
That's totally fair.
But especially here. Like, this is, it's a new level here.
He, I think, was recently on, pardon my take, doing some Bobo BS when asked about some of the owners who are not spending money and aren't trying to compete. He basically was the frog from Warner Brothers, if you've ever watched Looney Tunes back in the day. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Like, doing this dance around the very honest question about why are there so many owners who don't try to compete? Manfred seems to be more of the belief that in order for all baseball teams to be competitive, that there should be some sort of salary cap as opposed to a luxury tax and the luxury tax threshold that we currently have. So Manfred had a meeting with the Philadelphia Phillies last week. And per Jeff Passan, this meeting got rather contentious. Manfred does this every single year with every one of the 30 teams to improve his relationships with team players. It lasted more than an hour. And while Manfred never said the actual phrase salary cap, sources say the possibility raised the ire of Bryce Harper. This passage is something else. Quote, quiet for the majority of the meeting. Harper, sitting in a chair and holding a bat. Pause. What? He's holding a bat?
Just like, is he with one hand putting it in his other hand? Like,
that's exactly what I'm wondering, Sean.
Like,
is it
a tough guy?
I mean, is it the kind of thing that Negan's doing before bashing everyone's brains in?
Over there whistling in the corner? Twirling the bat around.
Right. I mean, this is pretty intimidating, seeming. Anyway, Harper eventually grew frustrated and said, if Major League Baseball were to propose a cap and hold firm to it, players are not scared to lose 162 games. Harper stood up, walked toward the middle of the room, doesn't say if he still had the bat here, faced Manfred and said, if you want to speak about that, you can get the bleep out of our clubhouse. Manfred responded that he was not going to get the F out of here, saying it was important to talk about threats to Major League Baseball's business and ways to grow the game. Before the situation further intensified, veteran outfielder Nick Castellanos, that's funny, and it's an interruption by Castellanos, tried to diffuse the tension, saying, quote, I have more questions, end quote. The meeting continued. Harper and Manfred eventually shook hands, but Harper declined to answer a phone call. Phone calls from Manfred the next day. That's something else. Nick Castellanos spoke up about it. It was pretty intense, definitely passionate. Both of them. The commissioner giving it back to Bryce and Bryce giving it back to the commissioner. That's Harp. He's been doing this since he was 15. It's just another day. I wasn't surprised. Harper and Manfred declined to comment when asked about the incident by ESPN. I love this. Manfred is in a very uncomfortable position because of the way that his owners operate. But he's also a commissioner that, because he has admitted his Yankee fandom publicly and because of the way that the sign-stealing scandal was handled, we're always going to hate him here. Oh, wait, we're just going to stop looking into other teams? The Astros are the poster child for an era where every single team was stealing signs? Like, PitchCom is just because of the Astros? Sure. Alex Cora's still in the major leagues. What are we talking about here? He's the head coach of, excuse me, he's the manager of the Red Sox, you know, one of the other, like, top three, four, five prestige franchises in baseball history, in one of its most, like, at least historically, passionate markets. Wait, nothing happens to them? Nothing with the Yankees? Nothing with the Dodgers? Huh. Okay, so to hear that Bryce Harper is getting in Rob Manfred's face, Bryce Harper, I think he's entitled to a free drink next time he's in town.
Yeah, yeah. Joe and I were talking about this before the show, and I was like, how unlikely is it that Bryce Harper, his personality is basically like the same personality he had a decade ago coming up, more than a decade ago, coming up while being like a number one draft pick and all that stuff and a rookie phenom. And like he is very likable. And before that, back in those days, it felt like it was like a, hey, get a load of this guy. You know, like, can you believe this douche? Like that was basically the overall, like, sentiment. And, like, he kind of just hasn't changed. Maybe changed a little bit, but he's just kind of like, actually, we like this guy. This guy's actually one of the more likable baseball players and nationally relevant baseball players that does have a high approval rating.
So he's pushing back.
Yeah, and he's the face of the resistance against Rob Manfred.
It could be good, all this bluster from both baseball and specifically from the Players Association, which is the strongest players association in sports. The executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association called the possibility of a salary cap, Tony Clark, institutionalized collusion, which I do agree with. I do think it is that. I do think the players are getting a lot of money now, but I think at the same time they're like, hey, a salary cap with some of the ownership groups that do not do a damn thing to help grow the game? Are you effing kidding me?
It also would be, you're right, is artificially capping, whatever. It also would be like a terrible look if like the Pirates just started spending money. The whole idea is that you put in a cap, but you also bring in a floor. So, like, the NFL, the NBA, both have salary floors. And I know for the NBA, and I think the NFL, it's somewhere similar. It's about 90% of the cap. So, every team spends roughly the same amount.
Right. They do. And they all make a pretty good profit.
Yes. And now, if the Pirates and the Rays and the Marlins, after decades of being like, well, we just can't compete, we just have to trot out a lineup or a payroll that's like $30 million, and then they institute a salary floor and like, actually they can pay 90% of what the Astros, Yankees, Dodgers pay. Like, they could have done that the entire time, they just chose not to. Like, that's also a terrible look for baseball.
for sure. And the players are going to end up being framed as the ones that screw this up. And look, I can understand you're listening. You've got a job, you got kids, and you're like, you're effing kidding me. Like, you need more money. I totally get it. You're playing a game for a living. Like, I get that perspective. But when it comes to the back and forth between these two sides, the ownership is the problem with the sport right now. The ownership and the lack of teams that are trying to be competitive, even though the sport is making it easier for teams to compete. Meanwhile, the owners are not getting more aggressive as a result of it. They're like, oh, no, I don't have to be as aggressive to have a competitive team because now 12 teams make the playoffs. That side of it is crap, and I like that. Harper is getting in Manfred's face about it. And I would also say, too, we're talking about a lockout before 2027. All right, we're a little under 2 years away from a potential lockout, but you're talking about the possibility of a lockout. The owners are talking about this again, and it's like, wait, really? Like, this doesn't exactly seem very far-sighted. Maybe everyone should, to grow the game, compete a little bit, spend a little bit, so that there aren't entire markets that don't give a damn about the sport because they know their team is never going to be competitive outside of maybe once before they strip parts the next year.
Yeah, the biggest free agent contract the Pirates have ever given out is 3 years, $36 million.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's the biggest contract they've given to a free agent.
So embarrassing.
The Rockets did this offseason to Dorian Finney-Smith, a guy who might not start for the team.
Yeah.
And, like, it that's the mid-level exception. They could have paid him more. They would have paid him more if they could.
Because they're over one of the luxury tax thresholds.
Yeah.
So,
like, there's just teams that are just, like, straight up not trying. It's, like, an insult to their fans that they're not trying. You think of a guy like Kyle Tucker being a free agent. And when you think of, like, oh, who could sign Kyle Tucker? It's one of, like, eight teams that actually signed
exactly.
guys.
Yeah.
That's terrible for your sport. If 20 teams are just like, well, they might have the biggest hole ever at right field. but they're just they cannot or will not pay Kyle Tucker. It's crazy.
That is Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to get in, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. And also on the brand new ESPN Houston app. Who's got a case of the Mondays? I think that the people who cannot stand strong, powerful, independent women, they're having a case of the Mondays. That and more next. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Who's got a case of the Mondays? Send them in 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Astros for sure. I mean, you lost four in a row to the A's. The homeless A's.
Yeah, it's definitely the sports equivalent of walking in on Monday and then the first person you see is just going, huh, tough weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Very tough.
It's me most Mondays, by the way. Me most Mondays. I'm actually feeling pretty good this Monday, though.
Yeah, yeah. You got here super early.
Got here the earliest I've been in years. 30 minutes before.
So. Yeah.
Just kidding.
It was like 20 minutes, but it's
that's true. I did leave like left 20, 35 minutes before. Anyway, we're new leaf.
Yeah.
New me.
I heard you. I heard you come in. I was like, Paul, look at this.
Refreshed
before the last commercial break.
Refreshed from vacation with my girlfriend. Oh, we had a good time. And I didn't have to watch any Astros baseball. So no case of the Mondays for me. None.
Yeah, you get to turn over the new leaf. Mm-hmm. You get to just like, boom, what do we got?
Astros are 0-0 today.
They are 0-0.
And guess who they're playing? The Washington Nationals, who are also 0-0. We're going to go by that logic. But if we want to go by this is a slump buster.
What they'll show on the screen, yeah.
A's had 43 wins going into this Astros. Check that. They had 42 wins going into this Astros A series over the weekend. The Nationals have 43 wins. They are the second worst team in the National League.
Okay.
They do have 16 wins on Colorado. That is how bad the Rockies are. 27-78.
Can the Astros play the Rockies again?
I know.
Can they?
I think they do.
Did they really?
I think.
Interleague is so crazy. Like, not to go full back in my day, but just
back in my
day, they just play interleague whenever, and they just play it multiple times. Apparently, I thought it was just one series against
they play the Rockies because I think it's their designated National League rival.
That's right. I forgot about that.
They play them the 26th through the 28th.
Okay.
At Daikin Park.
I'll buy tickets. Astros rivalry weekend.
You want to go to a game where they're going to win. That theoretically would be it. But
or
so are the A series.
Or you'll have a case of the Mondays if they drop 2 of 3 against those guys.
Man, they got outscored, doing a little math here, 32-7.
By the
real football score right there.
Oh, man.
But hey, last week they were the best team in the American League.
They were. Stop the count on like Wednesday of last week.
If only we could have kept it there. Who else has a case of the Mondays? I think if I were LaMelo Ball, I'd have a case of the Mondays. For those who don't know, LaMelo Ball, Charlotte Hornets legend, has tattooed his feet. His feet are now tattooed to look like he has Cheetos. As in flaming hot with that Cheetos.
Yeah.
He has...
It's like red flames.
Red flames on his toes.
On his toes.
With a little black outline of it. Gotta say, terrible job. Terrible job getting this done. He probably gave himself a foot injury doing this, to be honest. And the tattoo artist did what he could, but this is, if you're LaMelo Ball, this is a horrible, horrible choice.
It's a bad look at the very least, because, I mean, it immediately... How many guys get tattoos and we just, like, don't realize it or don't notice or only is a thing, like, when they show up to training camp or something? To get a tattoo that immediately goes viral is, like, there's no, like, positive way that happens. It's if people are talking about the new tattoo you got as a professional athlete, they hate it.
Yeah. And imagine being LeVar Ball, who's missing a foot, and you see your son has one of these feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you should treat that with a little more care.
Treat your feet with a little respect. You never know when you're going to lose a couple of toes like Deion Sanders or a full foot like LeVar Ball.
Did he do it on both? Do we know if he did it on both feet or just one?
It seems it was just one foot.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is also weird.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, 10 Cheetos. Cheetos.
Who else is a case of the Mondays? Non-strong, powerful, independent women are furious over Sydney Sweeney and her American Eagle denim campaign. This campaign is called Sydney Sweeney Has Great Jeans. Play on words, right? There's jeans, G-E-N-E-S. There's jeans, the things you wear, the blue, maybe they're black, made of denim, J-E-A-N-S. Sydney Sweeney Has Great Jeans ad has made American Eagle stock soar 17%, adding $400 million to their market cap in a day. But people are very upset about this. Sydney Sweeney captioned as she's wearing jeans and modeling, "I have great jeans. Now you can too." And everyone thinks that this is a pro-Nazi movement. The non-strong, powerful, independent women types, specifically.
Blonde hair, blue-eyed, being like, I have great jeans.
The jeans reference, the blonde hair, blue eyes, the German Shepherd. It doesn't take a genius to understand this could be interpreted into Nazi propaganda.
There's a German Shepherd in the end?
I guess there's a German Shepherd. They should have done a Golden Retriever.
I was going to say, could have taken that out.
Promoting eugenics in 2025. Boycotting American Eagle immediately. This made it so easy. I mean, she does have great jeans, though.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
This is where we're like, you have to come up with the like fifth different way to have a horny ad with Sydney Sweeney. Like you start getting a little bit more risky with the way you have to say. Because like how many different brands have had to do the like, isn't this chick hot? Look at her.
Yeah.
Like, of course you're gonna like, oops, we accidentally, you know, even if it's accidentally, like, oh, I can see how people thought that this. This might have been a little close to the sun on, like, look at this superior woman to you guys.
But she's the hottest woman alive in the eyes of many.
I think you had the different dog than German Shepherd.
Fine.
Or not blonde hair.
But no, I'm sorry. This is such a reach. Oh, this is the master race. Like, are we serious? She's hot. She's got
blonde hair, blue
eyes. She's got blonde hair, blue eyes.
What
she's got a pretty
love.
Face. She has ginormous pajongas. And she's got a pretty good badonkadonk. Okay? So she's got a lot going on. And guess what? Hot people get used for advertising campaigns. Whether it's for jeans or for some of that weird-ass stuff that you see from Europe. Okay? And we're looking at this and saying, yeah, I don't know that this is about who gets to be the face of America's best jeans. Listen, the face of America's best jeans, let's be honest, are going to be people that everyone wants to shaboink. That's the whole point of models. Models are models because they're attractive. Ooh, it's a celebration of the body. No, people want to bang them. That's what it's about. And listen, Sydney Sweeney owns it, but we're acting like this is all of a sudden Nazism? A hot woman is wearing jeans, and she's referencing the fact that she has good jeans, which helped her be a strong, powerful, independent woman. And this is like pro-Nazis. And all the people who are crying about this are the exact people you'd expect to cry about it. Which is to say, eggless. They eggless. They got nose rings. They got hair. They got a few extra pounds and stuff. And again, nothing wrong with that. But like, this is partly, just like with the WNBA stuff we talked about earlier, women hating on women. But it's also like, just can we stop trying to turn something that is legitimately just a hot person wearing jeans into, what does it say about us as a society? Like, it's a hot person modeling jeans. Oh,
to me, it falls into the bucket of unintentional. Like the unintentional read of an advertisement of being like, wait, where are they doing? Like the, you brought up the WNBA. There's one banner, I think at the All-Star Weekend, where it's just like, let these women cook.
Yeah.
And people were just like, probably should rework that one a little bit.
I guess. Listen, you're right about the... It's weird. It's American. Just get a golden retriever. It's like that.
It's like...
Golden retrievers are cuter than German Shepherds.
I think you would have been okay if you just taken one of the things out.
Yeah.
Just any one of the things out, it would have been fine.
But I mean, it's a pun, and people are acting like this is pro-Nazi. Wild. Anyway. God forbid we make puns. You'll be called a Nazi. It's 2025.
Yeah, it should... There should be like a... There should be like a LASIK thing where it's like you cannot see what's wrong with your eyes. And it's Sydney Sweeney.
It's weird. There's always got to be pushback to everything.
Can you not see?
But like, what do they want? Do they want us to use Lizzo or something? Or who, by the way, apparently some people think she's a sellout because she's lost some of the weight. You can't make anyone happy. So never try to make people happy. But it's weird that people are mad about that. So case of the Mondays.
Yeah.
People that don't like the Sydney Sweeney act. They're having a tough day. Anyway, guys. Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mays behind the glass. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Every Monday, 2:30. Who's got a case of the Mondays? We've got a little garbage time before we GTFO next for the Killer Bees. Stick around on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show. Good to be back. Good to be hanging out with Sean again and hanging out with you. 713-780-3776 to call, to text in, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. John Singleton DFA'd by the Astros this afternoon. Some are of the belief that the corresponding move will be the Astros calling up Jacob Melton. We shall see. Nationals on deck for the Astros. Three games at home before a day off and then a weekend series against the Red Sox in Boston featuring two games that are going to be played on the non-real networks. Got an Apple TV on Friday. A Roku game on Sunday at 10:35 a.m.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Pencil me in for...
I will be asleep.
That's a scheduled day of rest.
Yes,
that will be an Astros fan.
Scheduled day of sleeping in. I mean, look, I think something you should do for your own mental health until some of these players come back from the injury side of things. Don't dedicate too much time or attention into them if you cannot handle them losing. That's what I'm trying to say. There are some people out there, I respect how passionate you are about the Astros to watch them on a daily basis. Sean's shaking his head, not necessarily.
That. I don't respect that.
I respect people that Sean can be passionate about things.
I don't respect
that. Care about things. Well, I respect it. I am jealous at times. There's a lot of people who wish that I were a little bit more passionate about sports the way that I was when I was growing up. And I feel that way from time to time, too. I wish I cared about game number, let's say.
103?
107 tonight. I wish I cared a little bit more, but I don't. And they're playing the Nationals, and much like the series against the A's, if I can't handle the Astros losing to a last place team, given their injuries, I shouldn't watch tonight. That's my advice to you for the people out there that like go online and just get mad every single game. They are so injured. And you're not going to feel any better if they beat the Nationals and you dedicate 3+ hours to that. You're not going to feel any better. Unless Bryce Matthews hits 4 home runs like he's Nick Kurtz or Jacob Melton comes up for John Singleton and does the same thing. Sorry, it ain't happening.
Yeah, I would just say if you need to find a way as an adult to process this better if you're getting this bent out of shape over game 106 of a season where the team is leading the division. This isn't even like a struggle. This is just, they're still ahead by four games after the inexcusable. I see that, and my thought is, I can't wait till football season.
Right.
Just can't wait. Can't wait for a sport where you actually should react to what you see over a weekend.
Yeah.
That actually should affect how you view a team. In baseball, it's like, I don't know, dude. Like, just some of these games you just lose. Like, you just... they lost, what, 15-3 to the A's?
Yeah.
Do you think they're that bad of... Like, they're that much worse than the A's? Like, come on.
A couple of texts from the 832. Why are you just assuming when everyone comes back, we will be better?
Because they're better players.
Because look who's on their team right now.
I don't know. I'm just going to assume the guys that are better players will play better than the guys that are out there. We could be wrong.
By the way, from the 832, a grown man should not be asleep at 10:30 in the morning. All right, thanks, Dad. I'm sure that's working out well for you. Listening to the station.
Sorry, I'm not waking up when the cock makes a noise.
Gotta get up.
That kind of cock. Also, also part of the joke is that it's on Roku.
Yeah,
that's part of the joke.
Can't even figure out what it is.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
You're gonna buy a Roku TV to watch it.
F that.
No, that's It's the Red Sox. Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, we're not men.
No, we're not men
because we're asleep at 10:45.
10:45 on a Sunday. Come on, man.
Yeah,
get out of bed, you loser. If you don't get out of bed at 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday, you should kill yourself.
Yeah.
That's what this text says. Jumping out of bed
to watch TV, by the way. It's not he's feeding the cows. You know?
I got to watch the NFL today. I got to see J.J. Watt say the exact same thing as the other three guys that aren't communicating with each other.
I have to watch the 115th Astros game this season.
Yeah. Anyway, guys. Also, clean up aisle Sydney Sweeney. That's Sydney Sweeney's dog, the German Shepherd.
Oh.
So is she a Nazi? Do people with German Shepherds, are they actually Nazis? 713-780-3776 to call and text. And I just saw the Killer Bees rundown. They're going to be talking about that all show long. Are you a Nazi if you have a German Shepherd? Time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, let's hit it. Some garbage time to wrap up our first show back. This clip was amazing, and I know it did not take place over the weekend, but the Savannah Banana who tried to do a flip on CNN only to literally land on his face, I think means that the Savannah Bananas are officially dead. And I hope they die. I hate it. I'm tired of them constantly being on television on the weekend. I do not understand the appeal. I really don't. Call me an old man. I don't get it. It's essentially, someone described it to me, Sean, as, hey, you can go to a baseball game with your wife, watch men do essentially a striptease, so your wife gets a little horned up, and then perhaps the kids are going to be distracted by all the blind lights and flashing stuff, so you can go out and have a family day, and maybe you're going to get lucky at the end of the day because your wife's a little more ready to go. Literal theory I saw on the internet.
Just go to Phillies Yankees. You can get lucky there.
Go to a Phillies Yankees game and sit at the 300 level.
Yeah.
No. That's how you should watch baseball in 2025.
I mean, I get that it's like basically the Harlem Globetrotters, but also the Harlem Globetrotters weren't on like TV on ESPN2 bumping off like actual sports. Like that's the issue, is that Savannah Bananas is like on TV.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, just get this off my TV. You can do it. People can go. I don't want to see it. Get out. Stop trying to make it happen.
A man tried to compete in the Tour de France. He brought a bike. Oh. He dressed up and he got truck sticked by a security guard at the finish line. I'd like more of that. I want the security guards at the Tour de France to think that more of these guys are imposters. That would add a little extra added difficulty to it. Like many races where you're watching something over a couple of hours, to me, it's just not the greatest television watch. And I hate so much the people who dress up like Lance Armstrongs and ride in the roads that I kind of hate the Tour de France by default. So I kind of wish there was a little more of the security guards. And it's nothing against them. Like, they're trying to be the Tour de France guys, but those guys make me hate the Tour de France.
Yeah, because it's like the symbol of some of the worst people on the road.
Nikola Jokic, congratulations to him. His horse won a horse race, and he is 100% someone who cares more about his horse winning a race than he cared about winning the NBA title. Compare the videos. He cries. He cried when his horse won.
He was like in tears. He was like spraying the jockey with champagne. Yeah. By the way, the jockey looked pretty big compared to Nikola Jokic. I don't know how they do Serbian jockeys, but
no, they might be bigger.
Yeah.
A little bigger.
He looked like pretty normal size next to a 7-footer.
Yeah, he did. You're right. And on that note, guys, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes. Big thanks to you, the listener. Whether you called in, texted in, YouTubed, Twitched, or listened on the app, we appreciate you so much. I'm so happy to be back. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Don't forget, they're going to talk about whether or not if you're a Nazi, if you have a German Shepherd, all show long. Make sure you load up the phone lines. Have a wonderful Monday. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.